C-30, Lolo National Forest, Montana. Back in the safety and seclusion of his van, Trey leaned back in the driver's seat and shook his head in joyous disbelief. If he didn't have the footage of the alien craft flying overhead, he knew that he may well have doubted his own sanity and memory. Slightly more troublingly, he likewise knew that he may have had some doubts about the footage had it been someone else's rather than his own. The subject matter was so explosive, so incredible, that the burden of proof was as high as could be. But the clarity of Trey's footage, as well as the multitude of angles from his various cameras, led him to believe that in this case, it really would be enough. Just as many people would probably try to disprove the footage as defend it, but he knew that the truth was on his side. "This must have been how Dan felt last year," he thought to himself. He knew it was real, so he knew the doubters would run out of ammo eventually. Trey reached for his phone and dialed Dan's number. He didn't know that the call would be routed through a cable into Dan's signal-proof basement, but he still didn't have to wait more than a few rings. "Trey," Dan said when he picked up, just as excited as his faraway friend. "Are you alone?" Trey asked. "You might want to be sitting down for this." Dan didn't have to invite Emma and Clark to crowd around his wired phone to hear Trey's words. They were already doing so. "I'm ready for it. So what was the double happening? What did you see apart from the meteor?"
"Them, Dan.
Them?
The aliens, they were right here at Lolo."
Emma and Clark both instinctively turned to Dan, but his eyes remained fixed on the surface of the desk. "The aliens or the aliens' craft?" he asked. For reasons he didn't fully understand in the moment, he firmly hoped it would be the latter.
"The craft," Trey replied, giving Dan the answer he wanted. "It was flying, but it was so clear. I've got different angles from my different cameras from beginning to end. This is real proof, dude, and we can't ignore the fact that they were right there before the meteor. I don't know exactly what this means for Kerguelen or what it means going forward, but it sure as hell means they're back."
Before Dan could reply, Emma muscled in to take control of the phone. Dan was interested to hear what she had to say, so he didn't protest. Her orders were simple. "Trey, you need to start driving and you need to come straight here. You need to guard this footage with your life and you can't say anything about it to anyone. We need to talk about how we're going to manage the..."
"What is there to talk about?" Trey interrupted. "This footage is dynamite. I don't think anyone else will have seen the craft, but the meteor was high enough to make sure a lot of drivers will have picked it up on their dash cams. That footage won't be half as good as mine, but quality doesn't count if I'm not allowed to show anyone. Time is money on this. How about if I trim some of the meteor footage? I'll keep everything else under wraps until I'm back in Birchwood. Promise."
"You don't need to promise anything," Emma said. "I know you're too smart to ignore what I'm telling you, which is that you can't do anything with any of the footage, craft or meteor. Until you get here and we can talk properly, you're just going to have to trust me when I tell you that what's really going on here is a lot bigger than some lights in the sky, okay? And I don't want to alarm you, but if you don't follow my instruction to come straight to us with this, if you do anything that lets anyone know where you just were, let alone what you just saw, your life could be in serious danger. This is big, Trey. A lot bigger than you realize right now."
"Jesus,"
Trey groaned. He leaned back again and rubbed one hand against the stubbly hair at the back of his head.
"Dan, are you still there? I'm getting the feeling that you know something I don't, dude. Something you want to say but can't tell me until I get there?"
Emma handed the phone to Dan.
"It's complicated," he replied. "Just get here soon, okay? And make sure none of your cameras are set to upload any footage to cloud backups or anything like that. No one can know about any of this until you get here. And you can't risk any slip-ups. You're not going to be in any trouble or anything like that, so long as you don't do anything stupid. I stayed safe last year by doing what Emma said, and we're both here to help you now, man. We just need to know that you're going to help yourself by keeping this stuff quiet. It's just like me last year. You need to concentrate on doing the smart thing, and then the good things happen later. I know you'd make a lot of money from..."
"Dude, it's not the money," Trey interjected. "It's never the money.
I just don't know why you want me to keep this quiet. Isn't this what you wanted me to see? You did somehow know they were coming back, didn't you?"
"I can't say too much right now, but the reason I chose you is that I trust you more than anyone else.
I know that you're a newsman and a businessman, but I also know that you're a good man and a loyal man. And most importantly, I know that you believed me from the start, before literally anyone else, and that you kept quiet about the Closter letter, even when you could have sold me out. I'm a loyal man too, Trey. You'll do well out of this, but right now all that matters is that you bring the footage here without letting anyone else know what you saw or even where you saw it.
I'll be there as soon as I can, Trey said.
Good. I'll see you tonight, I guess.
Maybe the early hours of tomorrow,
Trey replied after doing some quick mental arithmetic. The hotel signs at the side of the highway were no longer calling, but a short rest or two to avoid serious fatigue would be necessary to ensure a safe drive.
But anyway, Dan, thanks for this, dude. Seriously, it's going to be a real life changer.
Dan put his phone down.
Hopefully not too much of a life changer,
Clark said, speaking for the first time in a while.
He'll be fine, Emma said.
Dan looked away from the phone at last, turning to Emma.
What are we going to tell him? Everything?
Definitely not, she said. That's why he's going to be fine.